This is the new Weight Watchers. It works for members like JoJo, who's learning simple, healthy habits, Sharia, who's making progress with meds, and Kim, who still gets to eat what she loves. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Watch your life open up. Watch your story shift. Watch what you're capable of. Watch it work. Get started today at WeightWatchers.com.
Door. Nicole's office was a glass-walled box suspended above the operations floor, but she had covered the transparent panes with makeshift blackout curtains, heavy wool blankets scavenged from the barracks. She needed the dark. She needed to feel like she was the only person left alive on Earth, because looking at the faces of the people she was leading, Ruby, Sam, the kids, was becoming physically painful. The only light in the room came from the dual monitors of the command terminal on her desk. The blue glow washed over her face, highlighting the dark circles under her eyes and the pale scar that ran through her eyebrow. She wasn't sleeping. Sleep was where the dead waited. Instead, she was digging. For months now, ever since they had secured the mountain, Nicole had been systematically decrypting the base's archived security logs. The system, a proprietary military network called Aegis, was corrupted, riddled with data holes and deleted sectors. But Nicole Bennett was her father's daughter, after all. She knew the back doors. She knew the ghost protocols. Tonight, she had found the file. It was labeled simply Evacuation Protocol Omega. The timestamp was deleted 6 months prior to her own arrival at the base. Her finger hovered over the enter key. Her hand was trembling. She grabbed her wrist with her other hand, forcing the stillness, and pressed the key. The screen flickered. Static washed across the monitor, a storm of digital snow, before resolving into a grainy, high-angle view of the command center. Nicole leaned in, her breath catching in her throat. The room on the screen was the same one Paul occupied now, but it was fully staffed. Dozens of technicians in military fatigues were moving frantically between consoles. Papers were flying. Red emergency strobes were pulsing silently against the walls, the audio feed a distorted underwater roar of alarms. In the center of the chaos stood a man. He was calm, terrifyingly calm. He wore a pristine white lab coat over a dark shirt and tie, a jarring contrast to the tactical gear of the soldiers around him. He stood with his hands clasped behind his back, watching the main screen as if he were observing an ant farm. "Krenner," Nicole whispered, the name tasting like acid. She had read about him in the test subject files. Dr. Wilhelm Krenner, the architect of the virus variants, the man her father had put in charge of the solution. On the screen, a soldier, a captain by the insignia, rushed up to Krenner. Nicole tapped a key isolating the audio channel for the central podium. The roar of the alarms dampened, and the voices cut through, tinny and metallic.
"Perimeter is holding, Doctor, but we need to initiate the lockdown," the captain was shouting, gesturing wildly at the screens. "The horde density inside the base is becoming critical. We have to seal the blast doors."
Krenner looked at the captain. He didn't blink. He adjusted his glasses with a single, precise finger.
"The blast door remains open, Captain," Krenner said. His voice was smooth, cultured, devoid of adrenaline.
"Open?" The captain stepped back, horrified.
"Sir, that's suicide. If they breach the command..."
"The doors remain open," Krenner repeated. "We are not trying to keep them out, Captain. We are facilitating an exchange."
"Exchange?"
Krenner turned to the console. He typed a command. On the screen behind him, a schematic of the base appeared. It showed the lower containment levels, sub-level 4.
the area Nicole had forbidden anyone from entering because the air scrubbers there were offline, or so she told them. "Protocol Omega is not a defense strategy," Krenner said, his voice dropping to a chilly murmur that the microphone barely picked up. "It is a liquidation event. The project has failed, but my work shall not. My subjects require feeding." Nicole watched, frozen, as Krenner's hand hovered over a large red key on the console. "Sir, step away from the panel," the captain yelled, reaching for his sidearm. He was too late. Krenner pressed the key. Clacks, 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 the sound of heavy magnetic locks disengaging echoed through the recording. Nicole switched the view on the second monitor to sub-level 4. The camera showed a long, sterile corridor lined with heavy containment cells. This was where he had kept them, the people from the trailer park, the ones from the test subject documents, the volunteers who had been promised safety and given a nightmare. The cell doors slid open simultaneously. For a second, nothing happened. The corridor was empty. Then they spilled out. They weren't like the shamblers outside. These were fast. They were skeletal, their skin pulled tight over bone, their eyes glowing with a bioluminescent rage that the low-light cameras picked up in terrifying detail. They poured into the hallway, hundreds of them, a flood of gnashing teeth and flailing limbs. But they didn't fight each other. They turned as if guided by a hive mind and looked up at the camera. They looked toward the stairs. Nicole switched back to the command center feed. The captain had drawn his gun. "What did you do?" "I released the hounds," Krenner said simply, "and I disabled the internal bulkheads. They will be here in 3 minutes." The captain fired. The bullet sparked against a deployable glass shield that had risen from the floor around Krenner's console, a failsafe designed for the commander, now used by the executioner. Krenner stood safely behind the bulletproof polycarbonate, watching the captain with mild interest. "Security teams!" the captain screamed into his radio. "Internal breach! Sector 4! Hostiles in the wire! Fire at will!" The video became a montage of slaughter. Nicole watched, tears streaming down her face, unable to look away. She watched the hallway cameras as the trailer park subjects surged up the stairwells. They moved like oil, fluid and unstoppable. She saw soldiers, men and women trained to fight, get overwhelmed by the sheer ferocity of Krenner's creations. The soldiers fired into the masses, bodies dropping, but the wave didn't stop. They tore through the barricades. In the mess hall, the same room where Nicole had just eaten breakfast with Tommy and Beverly, a squad of soldiers tried to hold the line. They flipped tables, creating a shield wall. It didn't matter. The subjects flanked them through the ventilation ducts. Ceiling panels crashed down. The screams were distorted by the microphone, turning into digital shrieks. Blood sprayed across the camera lens, obscuring the view, turning the mess hall feed into a blur of red and gray static. Nicole gagged, pressing a hand to her mouth. She recognized the room. She recognized the tables. When she had walked into that room 6 months ago, she had stepped over the skeletons of these men. She had wondered why they died in a circle. Now she knew. They were surrounded. She switched back to the command center. The room was empty of living soldiers now. Bodies lay draped over consoles, torn apart. The floor was slick with gore. Only Krenner remained, standing behind his glass shield. He checked his watch. He tapped a few final commands into the terminal. "System purge initiated." A text overlay flashed on the screen. "Deleting research archives." "You bastard," Nicole hissed at the screen. "You didn't just kill them. You erased the reason they died." Krenner picked up a silver briefcase from the floor. He didn't look at the carnage around him. He stepped out from behind the shield, stepping fastidiously over the body of the captain. He walked to the main door. He paused, looking back at the camera. Looking, it seemed, right at Nicole, across time and space. He smiled. "Asset liquidation complete," he said to the empty room. "Moving to extraction point. The train is waiting." Krenner walked out. Nicole frantically typed on her keyboard, switching cameras to follow him.
She needed to see where he went. She needed to know the route. Camera 12, East Corridor. Krenner walking briskly, ignoring the screams echoing from the lower levels. The zombies didn't attack him. They seemed to move around him, ignoring his scent, just as Jacob had used the urine. But Krenner wasn't masked by smell. He was masked by something else. Recognition? A frequency? Camera 5, loading dock. This was the final feed. The timestamp was 2 hours later. The base was silent. The screaming had stopped. The loading dock was a massive open cavern where the rail lines terminated inside the mountain. The train, the one Jacob had seen, was gone. The tracks stretched out into the darkness of the tunnel. But the dock wasn't empty. It was a graveyard. This was the scene she had walked into when they first entered the base. Hundreds of bodies lay scattered across the concrete floor. Some were soldiers who had tried to flee to the train, only to be cut down by the subjects. Others were civilians, maintenance staff, cooks, cleaners. They lay in heaps, tangled together in death. But the subjects, the trailer park monsters, were gone. Krenner had taken them. He had loaded them onto the train like cargo. Nicole watched the video feed of the silent dead room. She watched the way the emergency lights strobed over the faces of the corpses. She zoomed in on a cluster of bodies near the main gate control panel. There was a woman in a mechanic's jumpsuit. She was slumped against the wall, a wrench still gripped in her hand. Her chest had been torn open. Above her head on the wall, someone had smeared a message in blood. Nicole hadn't seen it when they arrived. The blood had dried to a rust color that blended with the paint, or maybe she had just been too overwhelmed to notice. But on the high-contrast security feed, it was legible. "He opened the door." Nicole stared at the words. She switched views to the external camera, the one looking out at the valley. The timestamp was the moment Krenner's train departed. The massive blast doors of the main gate, designed to withstand a nuclear impact, began to grind open. Krenner hadn't just killed everyone inside. He had opened the gates to the world. He had turned the base into a tomb, a petri dish left open to rot. He wanted the base to be overrun. He wanted to destroy the facility so completely that no one could ever use it again. But he had failed. The regular horde had wandered. Yes, they had picked the bones clean, but they hadn't destroyed the infrastructure. They hadn't destroyed the servers, and they hadn't destroyed the file Nicole was watching right now. Nicole hit pause. The image froze on the open gate, the sunlight spilling into the tomb. She sat back in her chair, the leather creaking in the silence of her office. Her heart was hammering against her ribs like a trapped bird. She looked down at her hands. They were shaking uncontrollably. It wasn't just a virus. It wasn't just an accident of nature or a lab leak. It was a plan. They were all chapters in the same book, written by Dr. Wilhelm Krenner, funded by the government's money, her father's signature. Nicole reached for the bottle of whiskey she kept in the bottom drawer. She poured a shot, not bothering with a glass, and downed it. The burn was grounding. She looked back at the screen, at the face of Krenner frozen in the frame, before he boarded the train. "You missed a spot," she whispered to the pixelated ghost. "You left us." The realization hit her with the force of a physical blow. Krenner wasn't just fleeing. He was relocating. He had taken his subjects, the weaponized zombies, and moved to a secondary location. And Jacob? Her mind flashed to the scene at breakfast, Jacob's arrival. "Something to tell you." Jacob had seen the train. Jacob had seen Krenner. Nicole stood up, the chair toppling over behind her. The darkness of the office felt suffocating now. She wasn't safe here. The mountain wasn't a fortress. It was a crime scene. And the criminal was still out there, riding a train full of monsters, looking for a new place to start the end of the world all over again. She grabbed the flash drive from the terminal, ripping it out of the port. She shoved it into her pocket. She needed to find Jacob. She moved to the door, her hand hovering over the handle. She looked back at the screen one last time, at the bodies of the soldiers who had died, trusting their commander. "I won't be like you," she vowed, her voice trembling but hard as iron. "I'm going to close that door." She exited her office and stepped out onto the gantry, leaving the ghosts behind in the dark.
she had to find Jacob Miller. Only this time, she had something to tell him about that train.
Human. Extinction level.